When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish,
the podcast that wonders if you only blow him so that he blows you. Was there a quid pro blow?
Yes, absolutely.
How can we be sure? Or at least where's the evidence?
A quid amateur blow at the very least. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
We're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Kyle.
Do you know what the version is if it's two straight guys?
No, what?
Quid bro blow.
Yeah.
Do you know what it's called if those two straight bros swim around the sea? A squid bro blow.
Jesus Christ, Kyle.
I don't have any others. That's all I got.
Great.
Okay, cool.
So we're going to talk about anxiety.
Anxiety.
The totally comfortable and everything's fine topic of anxiety.
Yeah, I don't know why. Sometimes I'm like, it's like when things are 2 weeks away, I'm like, yeah, that'll be fine to talk about. Yeah. And then I get to the time, like 2 weeks away happens. It keeps getting to be the point then in the future where we have to do it. So
yeah. Should we plan our difficult episodes for like 2026 then?
Yes. We'll be either like dead or asleep by then. Yeah. Okay. But first, thank you to Patreon members, Ben Cope, Felix.
Wait,
what?
You have to go slower than that if we're going to make fun of their names.
I know, but I feel like, okay, Ben Cope, what do you got?
All I can think of is Copenhagen, which is the chew that my dad chewed growing up. And that's disgusting.
Well, I mean, you could do the other Copenhagen.
Like Denmark? Nah, fuck those guys.
Okay, cool. Felix Palafox?
That name makes fun of itself.
And Timothy. There's a really good gay movie that I forget the name of that has a song about Timothy in it. Oh, Timothy.
Oh, yeah. That's Were the World Mine.
Yeah, it's such a good song.
It's about Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah.
And that gay boy that turns the football team gay.
Yeah.
With his magic squirty flower.
Yep. All of that is actually true. That's the movie. I saw it in, this is the fanciest thing I'm going to say, I saw it in like a film festival in Seattle.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I watched it on Netflix.
Yes. And then it got to be on Netflix. And then I watched it again. And then it was better the second time. The first time I was like, meh. So thank you, Patreon members.
Thanks. Thank you.
The most recent Patreon was an interview with fucking Dan's daddy, which was interesting. So if you want to listen to that or any of our other bonus segments, patreon.com/gayishpodcast.
Yeah. Do it.
Do it. Do you have...
We don't have any corrections.
Nope. We're perfect. Oh, December 1st is World AIDS Day. Is that right? Okay. December 1st, World AIDS Day.
Can't joke about that.
Nope.
yeah.
I read something recently that said like a quarter or so of young people won't hug someone who has HIV.
Yeah.
The world is massively, stupidly uninformed. So if you are wondering, if you're an idiot, you cannot get HIV through hugging someone.
Yep.
So Princess Diana showed that long, long ago.
I remember when my great uncle had AIDS and my cousin told me not to play the same kazoo as him.
Jesus.
And sometimes I think back on that story and I think, well, it was the 80s and we were scared and we didn't know things.
Mm-hmm.
Except it was 1989 and I'm pretty sure we did by then.
Did he just mean because kazoos are terrible? Don't play his kazoo. No one wants to hear you play that.
That could be onto something.
Okay.
There. That's
okay.
For damn sure.
Okay.
News. Okay, let's start with the creepy one. Are you ready for this?
Boy, okay.
A Welsh teacher has been awarded almost $1 million after being fired for hooking up with two teenagers he met on Grindr. Matthew Alpin was fired from his position as the head teacher at Tywyn Primary School in South Wales in 2016 after school officials learned he had had sex with two 17-year-old boys he'd met on Grindr. An investigation was performed, and the school's governors accused him of, quote, behavior bringing the school into disrepute, conduct incompatible with the role of the head teacher, both which seriously undermined the trust and confidence of the school in its head teacher, according to The Guardian.
Head teachers, right?
However, the age of consent in the UK is 16, so he technically didn't do anything illegal, just gross.
Hmm. Every hookup of mine, I technically didn't do anything illegal, just gross. I this is the challenging thing about being on Grindr Scruffs, because like on the surface that sounds gross. Also, if you hook up with people legally, like, I mean, you should, if they seem young enough, you should probably check their ID just to make sure, like, in terms of age. And like, what do you say, like, what was your recent science homework, just to see like if they're, you know, you can't just say what school are you at, or they may lie, so you have to be like, do you know advanced calculus, like, just to see if they're in college.
Is this a fake ID? What's your birthday? Are you really 5'5"?
You need to be a bouncer of your own home.
Yep.
Just fuck the bouncer.
Well, and there's also, I think, in this particular scenario, like, yes, be careful in Grindr, don't bang teenagers. And in this case, it's okay to bang people who are legal.
Mm-hmm.
But what about in the situation when you're a teacher and they may or may not be your student or potentially your student? Like, does it change it? Mm-hmm. Should there be a different set of rules for people who actually actively work with? Yeah. There are a lot of 18-year-olds that are seniors in high school.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I want to go to, like, did he know they were students? But yeah, maybe just when you're a teacher, just like, don't fuck anyone that might be a student in your school. That's just, maybe just like a blanket rule. Yeah. Maybe just like, not like a, like legally or anything, just like a, that could be like a, just a good personal rule. You know, let's just avoid that totally.
I can't find anything indicating they were students of his school.
No, they weren't. They weren't.
They were just students.
I'm just saying they could have been. They're 17, so they're hopefully students somewhere.
Okay, that changes it for me.
That's why they overturned it and gave him money.
Okay.
Because he was illegally fired because he didn't do anything illegal.
And
they
probably
weren't his pupils, but they were just really, really young.
Okay, and it was just about him being gay, not about fucking students.
That's right.
His students.
That was important. When deciding the case, the tribunal, quote, constructed two hypothetical heterosexual comparators in Mr. Aplin's position, and found that they would have been given more leeway than he. That it was about being gay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Great. Be careful out there, kids.
Guard your loins.
Okay, next. Another story from the UK.
Oh, cool.
Okay, great. So, a high court judge just permanently...
Why does he need to smoke weed before he goes into court?
Yeah. Oh, my God. High court. What did they decide at high court? Which flavor of nachos is the best?
I object.
I was going to say, which flavor of Doritos?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nacho cheese. Yeah. It's obvious.
Cool ranch, man. Especially when stoned.
I litigate you.
Yeah.
That's how you do it, right?
It sounds hot.
Okay.
Okay, a high court judge has ruled to permanently extend an exclusion zone that bans anti-LGBT education protests outside a Birmingham primary school. So, here's the scenario, and it is weird, I think. Okay. So, this school has, as part of its curriculum, that kids be taught about gay stuff. And it's not like how gay sex works. It's just that, hey, gay people are a thing, don't be a dick.
It's part of history.
Yeah. So, then a massive community of parents who happen to be Muslim rallied big protests outside the school, and then that all went to court, and the court said, basically, your claims about the curriculum are not true. You cannot continue to protest the school. If you protest in this area, we will arrest you.
Good.
And the things that get tricky here are, first, a real problem on the left, I think, of standing up for Muslims and the rights of Islam, where that butts up against conservative Islamic ideals, where, like, they're as bad, if not worse, than Christians and Christianity in terms of acceptance of gay people,
yeah,
abortion,
yeah,
women's rights.
Yeah. Like, well, I think here in the U.S., the problem is there are these super conservative evangelical Christians that don't realize they have a lot of the same beliefs as those conservative Muslim populations. So it is racist and religion when they think that those groups are any different than themselves. So there's like a definitely a racial component, a big racial component here in the U.S. And also, I hate any religion that's stupid like that. And yeah. And whether it's Jesus or Allah or Buddha or Zeus or Kevin Bacon, don't be dumb.
Yep. Well, lead protester Shaquille Afzar and his supporters, he doesn't have a child of his own at the school, but he's leading these protests. Anyway, he was accused of inviting a controversial imam to the demonstrations, and this imam falsely claimed that schools were teaching children about anal sex, pedophilia, like a priest, like an important religious guy, dude.
Got it.
Big hat. he claimed that the school was teaching children about anal sex, pedophilia, and transgenderism, not a word. Mm. And he described the school's head teacher as Shaitani, which is a devilish, and told them that woman needs to be broken.
Jesus. Like, I mean,
yeah,
that's hateful.
Well, she, Sarah Hewitt Clarkson, the school head, clarified that the school simply teaches that different sexual orientations are valid and must be accepted. Quote, "We are saying some children have two mummies. That is not promoting homosexuality," she told the court.
Teaching kids facts. It's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Okay, great.
Is there anything happy here?
I think this is happy-ish.
I think that's the best we do on this podcast.
Yeah. Last but not least, Matthew Shepard, you remember him?
Yeah.
Great. Is going to be honored with a plaque at the Washington National Cathedral. So that's, in a lot of ways, that's considered the country's church. Hmm. Washington National Cathedral is. That's where, like, presidents go to die and shit like that. or their funerals, I mean. The church raised $30,000 to place a permanent marker in Shepard's honor. And it is, he joins significant people that are buried there. Other figures such as Helen Keller, various military heroes, almost every president of the last century. Not buried, interred. What's the difference between burial and interred? Dan?
One sounds fancier.
Quote, "It's not just a burial site, it's a pilgrimage site in a lot of ways for a lot of people."
Oh.
"We wanted to find a way to honor that experience, but also to help people to have something to see and to touch and have a connection to." Oh, I can't read this. The plaque will be displayed in the cathedral's crypt and reads, "Matt, rest gently in this place. You are home safe now. Peace be with you and all who visit here." Hmm. Ta-da. Hmm.
Burial and interment are the same thing.
Well, then this article has chosen bad verbs.
It is the ritual act of placing a dead person or animal into the ground.
Hmm.
Are incorrectly used adverbs just called bad verbs?
Yes.
I'm just telling jokes to myself now. Why do you look confused?
Oh. Mm-hmm. Why would they say it this way? Mm-hmm. The headline is Matthew Shepard will be honored with plaque at National Cathedral. His ashes are going to be buried there. For 20 years, his ashes have been held in private without being buried in fear that any memorial would be vandalized.
Oh, God. Imagine, like, your son was already brutally murdered and you have to worry. Oh, jeez. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting, interesting, interesting. Yes. So he is being interred there along with a whole bunch of important and famous people.
It's one of those things that's like, it's great that they're doing that, but like everything, and there's so much that came out of his death and his murder, but it's like, it just comes back to like, nothing fixes that. Nothing fixes.
Yeah.
The brutality that gay people have to go through, that queer people have to go through. And so it's.
Do you remember it? Do you remember when all of that happened? You were pretty young.
No, I don't.
Because what year was that? It was like the 20 somethingth anniversary this year, right?
Yeah, 1998.
So 21 years ago.
I was 12.
Yeah. I mean, I remember it. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
Of course, I was at one of those liberal book learning schools at that point. I was a sophomore in college. but yeah, it was I mean, that really got the country's attention.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it took something that horrific to bring it to the country's attention, but it did.
And then it brought about legal change and laws about hate crimes and...
Yep.
So...
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to do things like record an ad.
Boy, it sure does.
You have to think of a topic. You have to think of something witty to say.
Yeah.
It can be kind of draining sometimes.
Absolutely. And I like being drained, but not in this way.
Life can be draining with more social commitments after the winter. People expect... that you're going to hang out, spend more time together, and that can be draining.
Especially in Seattle when the sun starts coming out and that's when all the people in the world come back asking for your time.
Yep.
I need better boundaries, I think.
Yeah. So therapy helps me process what my social life should look like and how I deal with my social battery, how I invest my time and my effort.
Yeah, me too. And it helps me get those boundaries that I was talking about, or at least remember to try to keep them.
Yep. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/gayish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gayish.
BetterHelp.com/gayish. Do it.
Do it.
Well, now that we're depressed, let's talk about anxiety. They go hand in hand.
That's very true. Okay. BT Dubs, we are actually the episode we did with Davey Wavy about the sex hotel.
Yeah.
When we went to Palm Springs, filmed some behind the scenes footage. And
my favorite part is the twirling.
When I twirl.
Yeah.
When I just twirl with reckless abandon. But we're going to post that. Hopefully it'll already be posted by the time this episode goes up. Are you posting this on Thursday?
I hope so.
Okay. So maybe.
Should I not? Because it's Thanksgiving?
I don't know. Happy maybe Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. If you're listening to us on the way to grandma's, I want you to picture her boobs.
Oh, no. You can't change that. That just happened now. It's like thinking about breathing.
Yep.
Oh, now you're thinking about breathing and boobs. Oh, I'm so sorry. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Sorry, Native Americans. In the Davey Wavy video, not only was that a really popular episode, I think that's now one of our most downloaded episodes. So in the episode leading up to and after, we talk a lot about anxiety. So on topic for this week. So check that out. It's on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/gayishpodcast.
I anxiously await its posting.
Mm-hmm, that works. what are we going to talk about anxiety? Am I going first? You going first?
I assumed that you had data. We usually start with boredom first.
Incorrect. I have no data.
Okay. Then let's talk about anxiety.
Okay.
What is anxiety? Because I didn't realize until I started researching this how overloaded of a word it is.
Yeah. I did the same thing. Anxiety is part of anxiety is a natural good thing. If you're about to have a test, you have anxiety. That's good. It's probably going to help motivate you to study, or it's understandable at least. Like, so there's a good component, a natural component to anxiety. There's also a bad component if that starts to affect your day-to-day life.
Yep.
And there are a lot of components to anxiety, which exists. There's definitely a list of them.
Yes, there is.
Do you have that list?
There is. Well, so just to read first, the Wikipedia definition of anxiety, which can't go wrong with that.
Mm-mm.
Anxiety is an emotion characterized by an unpleasant state of inner turmoil, often accompanied by nervous behavior such as pacing back and forth, somatic complaints, that's shit going on with your body, and rumination, going over the same thought over and over again. It is the subjectively unpleasant feelings of dread over anticipated events, such as the feeling of imminent death.
Wow. They just went to the example. All right, cool. Thanks, Wikipedia.
A bunch of stuff that comes with it. Muscular tension, restlessness, fatigue, problems concentrating. And as you said, anxiety can be appropriate. There is appropriate anxiety. It's when experienced regularly that you may suffer from an anxiety disorder, or if it is sufficient enough to cause a panic attack or yeah. other issues with your life. Like if it's causing you problems in your life, then it is a problem for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's so many things that could just be boiled down to that.
Yeah.
If you think it's a problem, if it's causing you heartache, it's a problem.
It's a problem. Go see your therapist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are different types, like social anxiety, panic attacks. What else is there?
Generalized anxiety disorder.
General anxiety.
Yep. Existential anxiety can occur when a person faces angst, an existential crisis, or nihilistic feelings.
That's where my recent anxiety is at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole anxiety about like life has no meaning. Why?
What is even, why do we do this?
I forgot to read this part, and I think it's really interesting. One way to think about anxiety is either whether it's short-term or long-term. Is it a state or is it a trait? That as a state, it's probably fine. As a trait, it's more likely to cause issues.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to talk more, I think, about personal stuff mm-hmm. later. And I definitely have anxiety about things, but I wouldn't say that I suffer from it. For me, I think it is largely a state. And for you, that's something that you suffer from. Like, you talk about it a lot as being a big, major, impactful part of your existence.
And yeah, but then I don't really, after doing research, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
We'll see. I was like, maybe I don't have anxiety. And then I did a bunch of research, and then I was like, well, this is stupid. I don't have it. But then maybe I do. I don't know.
Do you have anxiety about whether you have anxiety?
Yes.
Great. Okay, great. Great.
I'm sure I've told you this before. I forget if it was on the podcast. My mom had this crocheted framed quote that said, "Today is the tomorrow that worried you yesterday." And I don't know where she got it, but that has always been in her room since I was a kid. And it was just because that was her. Like, that so represented her.
Yeah.
So if I do have anxiety, I wonder where I got it from.
I mean, I think it's also just how time works.
Tomorrow is a concept we will never arrive at. Like orgasm when you're on depression meds.
Yeah.
Well, but it's the worrying. Like, the idea of that is every day you're worrying about the next day and it might get here. Like, man, that's some deep shit.
Yep.
Let me tell you about...
Tell me.
One of the things that I think I most likely suffer from, and I thought was super relevant to LGBT people, is social anxiety.
Yeah.
That is one of the types of anxiety in the list. So on the National Social Anxiety Center, because there is a center for anything, they...
NSAC?
I mean, yes. According to NSAC, they have an LGBT anxiety section, and we've talked, like, there's a lot that just unfortunately comes along with being LGBTQ. You have minority stress. There's like all the shit you have to go through, internalized homophobia, blah, blah, blah. And I think this is one that is very likely that a lot of people have. And the top, I'll just read the quotes that they put on the top, and it just like made it so easy and clear on why that could be the case. So social anxiety is around anxiety around other people, feeling like you fit in, feeling like other people are judging you when you're there, to the point where it causes you distress, mm-hmm. to the point where you might adjust your behavior or are so worried about it, you avoid it. So the quotes they put at the top are, "I'm fundamentally different and don't fit in." These are like things LGBTQ people grow up hearing or believing. Mm-hmm. "I'm not worthwhile unless I'm accepted by those I admire."
Mm-hmm.
"I can't be accepted by others unless I meet their expectations."
Oh, yeah.
"If someone got to know the real me, they wouldn't accept me."
Yeah, check, check, checkity, check. That's just called being gay at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. Yes, your grandma's a racist, but just picture her boobs again. Who are boobs are racist too. So like that, just all of those things, it's like, why would we have social anxiety? Why might I have social anxiety? And those are all the things that you grow up believing Especially if you're not out, especially if you're not an accepting place, if you don't have an accepting family, those are the things that, whether you know it or not, are being reinforced day in and day out. And even if you have the most accepting family, those are things you see in the news, like the news items you talked about, like all, like so many of them just basically say it is not okay to be gay. And that reinforces all of these beliefs.
Yep.
And actually that was something I, in through therapy, only realized and connected, was, oh shit, like, why do I not have self-confidence and why do I look to others for my validation? And it's like, yeah, because if I acted like myself, people make fun of me. Mm-hmm. So I had to look to other people.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's pretty rude, but, I have to look to other people to figure out what is the right behavior in any given moment. So that last one, if someone got to know the real me, they wouldn't accept me. And I can't be accepted by others unless I meet their expectations. Okay. I'm just reading the list again. But like, of course I didn't grow up having my own self-confidence and trusted everyone else and use their opinions of me to decide if I was worthwhile or not.
Yep.
So I never grew up trusting my own instincts and feelings of self-worth.
Yep. Yep. I mean, it, all of that makes sense, like biologically too, right? Like a lot of anxiety is because of your amygdala is what senses threat. Like I need to run from this lion so it doesn't eat me. And it kicks in your fight or flight response, right?
I need to run to this bear and maybe he will eat me.
Either you need to punch it in the dick or run away from it so it doesn't eat you. And so as we evolved and we're social creatures, our amygdala can kick in for symbolic reasons or thinking about the future, which is something that animals don't do much of, planning.
Yeah.
And so we're just sort of the victims of, we're animals.
Yeah.
And so that very necessary, important part of our physiology to kick in the dick or run.
That's the famous phrase. When encountering a challenging situation, you either kick in the dick or run.
But it gets turned on for other reasons now.
Yeah.
And for some people, like especially gay people, it is so threatening to be gay and you work so hard to hide it if you're in the closet and you're in a dangerous situation growing up that, of course, your amygdala is going to be trigger happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just by virtue of living through it every day for however many years.
Yeah. And you're constantly looking at other people, worrying they'll find out, worrying what they think of you, thinking that everyone has their eyes on you. This is something that's weird about social anxiety. It is where it's, there's like a weird selfish component almost, like everyone is looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and I don't, it's so weird for me to realize that portion of it, because it's both, I feel like I have no self-worth and I'm worried that everything I do is stupid. Also, everyone's only looking at me. I don't, it's such a weird combination of things.
Yeah. And I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. It's not going to help. And people give two shits about other people.
That's, I mean, right? I mean, all of this, like anxiety, there are rational thoughts like that you need to like, see your therapist. I don't know what I'm talking about, but like rational thoughts you need to remind yourself. And yeah, one of them is like, if you see someone else do something stupid, like on the street, like, oh, I tripped, everyone's looking at me. If you see someone else trip, you're like, well, whatever. And then 2 seconds later, you're thinking about, you're back in your own shit. No one cares.
Everyone has their own head up their ass so far.
Yeah. It's like a weird, no one cares about you. I mean, that's like not exactly, but like no one cares.
Yep.
Everyone is so self-centered and in their own heads that they don't care what you do and they forget it 2 seconds later.
Yep.
Unless you kick them in the dick.
Yep. Or run for no reason. I think that would probably stick in their heads a little bit.
Then you'd be like,
that's a great way. The next time, let's do that. Let's go to an awkward situation and just like mid-sentence run away. Like as fast as you can, run away.
But again, people would be super self-centered. They'd be like, am I in danger right now? Do I need to get out of here? What the fuck is happening?
Oh, it's interesting.
Oh, I was going to lastly mention that I did just a search on iTunes to see if any other podcasts talk about this. And
we like to joke that feelings come out of you as burps.
I cut all of our burps.
Oh.
So I guess that's your decision now. Wow, that like was a rolling thunder.
It was a burp crescendo.
Our friends at The Gays Are Revolting, which is an Australian podcast. So yep. If nothing else, they have hot accents, but they are also attractive. They talk about social anxiety. Luke in particular talks about a lot of mental health issues, including social anxiety. So their episode on September 13th at 4:42:55, if you want to hear more and Australian perspectives on it. But yeah, it's can just be a part of being gay.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think the data shows that, not that either of us have data this time.
No. Yeah. Wow. Really let everyone down this time.
Yeah.
Should I go on to my next segment? Or
sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I just had an idea for a segment. Oh. It just wrote itself, and we can do it whenever.
Let's do it now.
Oh, okay. In our Facebook group today, somebody posted a question. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to read it,
mm-hmm.
and then we can talk about it.
That sounds like a good plan.
I work on a college campus and interact with students all the time. One big thing I've noticed this semester is that more students seem to be suffering from depression and anxiety. Yesterday, I spoke with one about his depression and stresses. It was interesting because I had just started listening to Mike and Kyle's early episode on depression, like 15 minutes prior to talking with the student. What is causing this rise among college students? And then some people weighed in, and here's one response. Well, going by my own anxiety and depression issues, I'd say it's having an insurmountable amount of debt going into, or thought of, for those still in college, a saturated workforce hoping to find a job using their overpriced degree, and a looming uncertainty of the future. Factor in the thought that it may not matter anyway with the effects climate change is having on the environment, not to mention corporate and political greed that seems to be running rampant.
It may not matter. That's the existential shit.
Yeah.
We might be dead soon anyway.
Yeah.
So whatever.
And then...
In the future, where the global climate crisis has hit a peak, the only valuable job will be firefighter.
Yep.
So that shit's going to be on fire.
Yep. But this idea that, like, it's hard to be a millennial or whatever is after millennial because...
Gen Z.
Okay, boomer, you fucked it all up.
Yep.
What do you think about that? Like, I don't hear you saying those kinds of things, but does this speak to you?
I feel very fortunate in that I am very intelligent. No, that I think I graduated like a couple years before that. No, it was 2 years before the giant market crash, where people were like extending college by a year, freaking out about getting jobs. So I was fortunate that I was in a good business program. My parents paid for my college, which is a very privileged position to be in. I came out of college with zero. That's not true. A little bit of debt, but mostly paying back my parents for international travel I'd done. That's first world problems. And got a good job at. So I think I missed that a little bit. That was just pure luck. I'm no smarter than the people that came 2 years after me, or it was just lucky the time I graduated.
My perception of people in their early 30s is actually that you were like one of the last ones to make it, that it was happening while you were there.
Yeah.
And because there are a lot of people that are 32, 33, 34 that are struggling.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I meet people a year younger than me that are like, I got this business degree. And I am working as a waiter because I can't find a job in the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with working as a waiter, especially if like that's how you're making your ends meet. But yeah, the promise of college degrees has not been fulfilled.
Yep.
I would also like my first reaction actually to the original post that you mentioned, OP, is... partly it could be just because we're talking about it more. The younger people get, the more we're talking about mental health issues. So it might just be boomers, older generations, just shut the fuck up about their mental problems.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't want to diminish the like issues that surround millennials or Gen Z people. But at the same time, like you're probably just hearing them more, which is, I mean, it's a good thing that people are talking about it more and more.
Yeah. It's the much maligned baby boomers, and before them, the greatest generation.
I actually feel sorry for them. I have I have sincere pity for the fact that they are so repressed by the time that they grew up in, that you just don't talk about feelings. Like, I don't remember my grandparents ever like touching each other. Much less saying I love you. Like, and I think it's gotten a little bit better with boomers. Like, they've tried to repair some of that, but there's some serious like emotional stunting that goes with those generations.
Absolutely.
I think it is getting better. Yeah. At least that's my perception.
Yeah, me too.
A couple of other theories that came from the Facebook thread. I'm not an undergrad anymore, but much of my depression and anxiety comes from an insane pressure I put on myself to succeed and be damn near perfect.
I relate to that.
Which the overachieving gay, that's a stereotype. Mm-hmm. That's a archetype.
Yeah.
Right? That you're running away from your gayness so hard that you're just going to be fucking perfect at everything else to make up for it.
Is that why you do that?
Yeah.
Oh. You just saved me like $1,000 of therapy right there, so that's cool.
You're what? Your presence is payment enough, Kyle.
That's weirdly sweet. Whenever I am anything short of Leslie Knope from Parks and Recreation, I think I'm failing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
She's not real.
Some of this is also universal. I have this theory that everybody, even the most successful people, look at fucking Donald Trump and what a man baby he is, but we're all walking through the earth just feeling like we're fucking up. That's just part of the human experience, feeling like you are a failure.
See, I think Donald Trump is a good example of people that don't think they are. I think he legitimately thinks he's amazing. And I think there are people out there, I think you're right that most people are not like that, but I think there are egotistical douchebags that just think they are the jam, slam-a-dam, and nothing will change their mind.
I think it's compensation. Mm. I think that is overacting to compensate for a gnawing total lack of self-worth.
Mm.
His daddy never loved him.
Mm. Because he couldn't show emotions.
Yep.
It all ties together, Mike. An interweaving tapestry of fuck.
Here's one. It's not different from the other ones, but I think it was an interesting take on it. The baby boomers are hoarding all of the resources for themselves and destroying the planet. And kids basically have to sell their immortal soul to the boomers to go to college anymore. There's a lot to be anxious about.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's facebook.com/group/gayishpodcast if you want to have these kinds of uplifting conversations in your life.
We also post funny gay memes.
That's true.
So you get a good variety of shit going on in the Facebook group. Man, we're doing either really good or this is horribly bad at promotional stuff.
I mean, I think if I was a listener of our show, and I am not, I would skip over the context stuff at the end because it's just so much.
Yeah. Well, don't tell people they can do that. There's no skip button on your podcast app. My next thing.
Yep.
I'm actually weirdly excited to talk about this.
Okay.
Performance anxiety.
Oh my God. Yes.
This is actually one of the things, surprisingly, that we get. I feel like I've talked to people now that more and more people know that like we're chill people to talk to about sex stuff and weird sex stuff, that people have asked about or talked about either on the Facebook group or personal friends. So I think this is one of those things that is really uncomfortable.
Do you mean specifically sexual performance anxiety or like performance anxiety? Like
right before a football game.
Okay, great.
No, I was kidding. Yes, sexual.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's also performance anxiety.
Oh, I just always assume performance anxiety.
You mean, does my dick work?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Here we go.
Yep, getting it up. I started reading data, but then I thought this was more interesting, but like it could be either not being able to get hard or coming too fast. Like there are two kind of sides to the coin.
Or getting hard and not coming at all.
I read this article that I really liked about men generally, not specific to any specific orientation. It was on The Guardian in October 20, 2018 by Ciaran Kale. Watch out. It might have Ebola.
I'm going to toss his salad.
And it is called erectile dysfunction, performance anxiety, Oh, no, this is just the URL. Truth Modern. No, I don't know what that means. Okay. So what Siren is saying is, first, more men believe they have erectile dysfunction when actually they're just anxious about their sexual performance. Yeah. And it's one of those self-fulfilling prophecies. If you're anxious about, if it happens once and you become anxious about your sexual performance or getting hard or coming, then it's like dick circle of like,
yep.
Then you're anxious about it. Then you're not going to get hard. Then it happens again. And now you think you have erectile dysfunction and now you're in this weird spot where it's, you're kind of stuck there.
Yep. Next thing you know, you're a virgin again.
It's been so long. Jesus blesses you and you get to start over.
Mm-hmm.
I think in particular, this can happen to people that are young. Mm-hmm. And one of the challenges, everyone has this happen to them at some point.
Yep.
Could be because of alcohol. Could be just, it's not the right situation for you. It could, like, there are a lot of reasons it can happen.
Yep.
But especially if you're in your 20s, you're like, how is this happening to me when I'm so young? Oh shit, this is a problem.
Yep.
When really it's just a one-time thing. And we only think about it as older people have it. And it's not something you talk to your bros about. Like,
right. Yeah.
Man, couldn't get it up last night. Vicky was pissed. Yeah. What do you guys do?
Yeah.
Anyone want to fuck Vicky for me?
I forget if I've told you this or not, but I hadn't been out very long, but early on in Trevor and I's relationship, I had sexual performance issues, so much so that I got on Cialis for a while.
Mm.
And it was bad enough that I was questioning whether I was gay. Because all of the sex that I ever had with my wife, getting it up and finishing, never a problem. And so then the fact that I suddenly started having problems with the right gender,
mm-hmm.
I was all in my head about it, which didn't help.
Yeah.
Right? So I was like, well, I'm definitely into dudes. Why isn't this working? Which would then make it work even less well.
Yeah. Right? Wait, why do you think that is?
Why do I think what is?
That you had that sexual performance issues.
I mean, I think this dick spiral is exactly part of it. I also think that it was a very, very, very stressful time in my life. The divorce and all of that was pretty rough. And I also think, in a weird, I don't know, I don't, it's murky. This is like 10 years ago now, but I also think I was training for half marathons at that point, and that's not good for your body.
Is that a euphemism? Like you were doing long jerk off sessions?
Yes, but I was outdoors running while I did it.
So impressive. Can you tap your head and rub a circle on your stomach? Can you run and jerk off at the same time? Is the question.
Yes, I can.
Okay. Confirmed.
But I think that I was, my body was super stressed out.
Yeah.
And that, in part, I was trying to cope with all of the stress going on in my life by working out a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah. And I've definitely had those spirals of anxiety, and I don't know that I'm even totally out of that. Like that absolutely still happens sometimes.
Also, since, I don't know, it feels recent, but I won't try to put a time frame on. The discovery of the power. Hold on. I'm not expecting this to work for everybody. If you try this and it doesn't work for you, that's okay. Mm-hmm. There's still nothing wrong with you. For me, one thing that really, really worked was just having the bravery to say, I might not get hard and that's okay.
Yeah.
And then just admitting that, communicating that, removes so much of the pressure that it actually is easy to perform.
Yeah.
So, I think just getting past that shame and that anxiety and communicating it is a big help.
Yeah.
At least it was for me.
And that is one of the things that hopefully as like, I feel like as I've gotten older, been better at communicating and better at understanding even in my sexual like hookups, like there's so much pressure on the erection and the orgasm. Like those are things that are like, those are the stars of the show. And there is so much fun stuff to do, even if neither of those happen.
Like naps. Fuck, I love naps.
Just cuddle naps?
Yes.
Oh, it's so sexual. yeah, so I completely agree. Like, being down to, like fool around, have a lot of fun, even if you don't get hard, can help. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'm bold enough to communicate it directly, but yeah, that can absolutely help. Some of the other challenges, Paul Nelson, founder of Frank Talk. Thank you, Paul Nelson, for having a name so easy, even I can't fuck it up. Probably like Paul Nelson. an online support, Frank Talk is a online support group for men with ED.
Oh, I thought it was about a guy named Frank.
Yep. It's about Frank Ocean.
It's about your Frank and not your beans.
I don't think I get it, but I still like it. So he says, quote, not Frank, Paul. Paul says, quote, men are supposed to always want sex and be ready to go. When you don't live up to that code, you're excluded from the men's club.
Yep.
And I think that's, I mean, I'm sure that's true of straight people. Straight people don't talk about their feelings. But with gay people, like, you are so sexualized and you're expected to want to have sex all the time. We have a lot of sex culture.
Yeah.
And so if you don't do that, like, how many people talk to their gay friends about being able to get it up? Like, that, I mean, straight or gay, like, that's just not, or bi.
That's why I'm telling tens of people on this podcast.
Yes. Well, since you fuck so many listeners, now everyone knows Mike might not get it up. Then there's this also, like, the uninformed partner may think, what is it about me that is causing this? I thought you were into me and you're not. And that is this kind of self-blaming thing that doesn't help anyone, because this happens to everyone and it is not about you. It is not your fault. There's no, and like, if that is happening to someone, do a bunch of other fun shit.
Yeah.
If they don't get hard, cool. Like, find other shit you want to do. You then get to get a blowjob. Like,
yeah.
So it could be better. Well, I'm hard, so go ahead and work that out. And specifically for gay men, I'm embarrassed to, well, one of these things for gay men, they pointed out in this article, both of these really relate to me, and I feel uncomfortable about it. First, it is could fuel people to have more casual encounters. I don't care about this person. This is a one-time thing. If I don't get hard, they don't know me. They, you know, worst case scenario, they think I'm stupid or hate me or whatever. They leave. I'm done with it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And, well, partly I also like the newness of, like, hooking up with someone and, like, the dirtiness. So that actually helps me a little bit on the, like, but yeah.
Your, like, men are like tissues. They use them and throw them away.
Oh, yes. No, they use me. Okay. I'm like their tissue. They're dirty, dirty tissue. Also, this is uncomfortable, partly for gay men. The answer could be a bottom.
Yeah.
And that's partly, like, I think that's one of the reasons that, especially in hookups, I say that I'm a bottom, because if I have issues getting it up, it doesn't matter because I'm the bottom. So, like, my hole as a whole, it does not need to get erect.
Shit I wish I knew before I started bottoming, though. Like, you might not get hard, and that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
I thought, like, I don't have an erection, I must not be having fun. Like, which is dumb.
No, it's not. Yeah, no, it's not. Or I think that's so common for people to think that.
Yeah.
And then that is one of those things that then takes you out of the, like, why aren't I hard? Then it takes you out of the moment. Then you actually don't have fun. So it, like, a lot of this, so much of this is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yep.
Yeah, I think, I mean, in either top, bottom, like, whatever role you are, like, a lot of times when you masturbate, you don't do those positions. So yeah. Your body is not used to, you're not used to getting fucked and jerking off and being hard, like, and that's where sometimes, like, butt plugs or, like, playing with yourself, like, helps you, like, your body be like, oh, this is cool, this is fun, you like this. So
yeah.
But yeah, and I think that's why I always say, like, I am in my relationships verse, but in hookups bottom, and people don't believe me, but fuck off. But I'm
they don't believe you.
Yeah, everyone's like, no. I'm like, yes. Believe men? No. Oh, yeah. Believe men. That's the big push we're all making right now. No, but in relationships, I've grown to trust that person and I have less of that anxiety. I trust that person to the point where they know if I don't get hard, it's cool. Like, yeah. And so that reduces that anxiety. So that helps. Like, I like topping. It's, I don't know if you know this, but it feels really good to put your dick in shit. Not in shit, in stuff. But
in people.
I mean, do what you want to do, but yeah. And so, I think this is a question we've gotten asked, or at least I've gotten asked personally since we started the podcast. And also, if you are the top, there's lots of fun things to do. Start by fingering them. Mm-hmm. Like, I sometimes forget how into that I am. Like by starting there, they're getting they get to receive something anally. That's the least exciting way I've described it.
Very
fingering.
Clinical of you.
go on a mission to find their prostate with your finger. Like, that's a lot of fun.
Have your fingers talk to each other like they're explorers.
Lewis and Clark. Hey, buddy. What's over there? Did you find gold? California. Western Expansion. Oh, I got off topic. Yeah, so like...
Watch out for the brown bear in that cave. No.
Jackpot. Okay. Yeah, like, and if... And sometimes, like, what that's done is, like, that's so fun, and there's, like, well, now we're doing this fun thing where I'm, like, penetrating you with my fingers that then I get excited and get hard.
Yep.
If not, it's cool. Like, you can still, you know, do stuff, but...
Yep.
So, basically... Oh, and something else that I think is interesting that, I was thinking about is, like, straight people don't have that option. Straight people don't have, like, they don't have those roles necessarily, so that, I think, probably for them even more, it's, like... The focus is on, like, if you're not hard, like, I guess you got to get pegged then. Like, you know, like, there's not the...
Yeah, but, I mean, there's more to life than penetration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I could see that being one of the...
Just ask a lesbian.
So true. So, yeah, you're fine no matter what, and sex can be fun no matter what.
Yes.
That's the takeaway.
I agree.
Cool.
Don't have anxiety.
My rights here.
Oh, God. Fucking work. God damn it.
Oh, do you need to do something?
No.
Okay.
I think it's okay for me to not be available at work for 2 hours in the nighttime.
Yeah.
New segment?
Yeah.
Okay. This is really fast, and then we can get to the other thing. So, talking about existential anxiety.
Oh, boy.
The philosopher Søren Kierkegaard... In The Concept of Anxiety,
I'm glad you said that name and not me.
In 1844, described anxiety or dread associated with the quote dizziness of freedom. That anxiety is really about having freedom and having too many choices, and suggested the possibility for positive resolution of anxiety through the self-conscious exercise of responsibility and choosing. That being deliberate, that making choices will reduce anxiety. And I think that's really interesting.
Like me when I just quit my job.
Yeah. And lots of things have gotten better for you in the last week or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you have like this existential anxiety?
Sometimes. Sometimes I do. Mine is more associated with depression than with anxiety of like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Like... When you're like laying in bed and can't get out of bed because you don't want to do anything because who fucking cares about anything?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I just think like at the end of the day, I'm going to die. Like, why not just move that date up a little bit?
Yep. 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 I get it.
Yeah. I mean, something that has helped is just recently I put together, like, what do I want to achieve by next year? And I think that goes into, like, those making decisions. Like, having goals is like, okay, I do have a purpose. I have something I'm working for, something I care about.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and even, like, some of the things we've already talked about, right? Like, for me, anyway, saying out loud to somebody, I might not get hard and that's okay. I'm still having fun. That's a choice. That's a decision. That's about, like, the anxiety that's in my head that's fucking up with my life. I'm making a choice to express it and change the scenario.
Yeah, that's true. Like there are so many things. I mean, I think more around depression for me, but like when I say them out loud, they seem so small compared to when I was thinking and swirling in my head. And like, that's something that's really helpful that I've had you for, of like being able to say, here's what's causing me issues, I guess also anxiety. Then it, you can take whatever has been swirling and make it a real, like, here's the real thing. Mm-hmm. Though, and it's not as big of a thing as you thought it was.
Shreya says the stewing is worse than the doing.
Yeah. That line is so good. Shreya, who was in our D&D episode very early on. Mm-hmm. I still really like that episode.
Yeah.
It's weird, but I like it. Anyway, yeah.
So, now what?
Well, okay, that kind of goes back to my... So, I was doing research on all of this and then wondering if I have anxiety, and...
You do. Great. End of segment.
Really? Do you... You're a good, like, check of my, like, mental issues. You'll be like... No, that's crazy. Or like, no, that's normal.
I think like one way, a defense against the anxiety of whether you have anxiety or not would be to convince yourself that you don't have it. That's one strategy your brain could be employing to feel better.
Well, like, no, it makes me feel worse.
Because if you don't have anxiety, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Exactly. Am I just, does everyone go through this and I'm just making it up? Or this is so common, everyone deals with this and I'm just like whining about it. Like that was one of my fears. And then like talking about this brought up all of that to the forefront of like, maybe this is just what everyone goes through. And I'm going to talk about like, this thing happens and that thing's happening. Everyone's going to be like, we all deal with that all the time.
Okay, so people don't believe it about you. I've said it before. I said on the weddings episode, and that made the cut, which I was happy. You come off so effortless and fun and bubbly and social in real life, and so much so that people don't believe how socially anxious you are. Mm. But I know you, and I see it, and it's real. It's for sure a thing. Yeah. Like it's.
That helps.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
just being able to say like, yes, this is a real thing. Like when I go to you every time I have sex and I'm like, I definitely have HIV. Like that I know is crazy. And you're like, you're crazy. And I'm like, that's like, yeah. So like getting the flip side, the validation of like, yes, it is real. Not everyone. I think it's also like not everyone goes through that is helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I see people who love you and care about you, and you know they love you and care about you, and people that I know that you care about and love, to see you have to, like, struggle to figure out how to be around them because the whole thing makes you anxious is... some of it's subtle, but some of it's not, and it's clear that it's something that affects you.
Yeah.
And... That's not crazy at all. That's for sure a real thing that's actually happening.
Yeah.
We can all see it. That's not going to help.
Great. Thanks, Mike. So I wrote down, as I felt anxiety this week,
yep,
to give some examples. Should I get into that? Okay.
Do we have time for this?
Probably not. I won't go through all of them. I realized one of the biggest things that I have anxiety on a regular basis is getting a lift.
Oh, okay.
I usually look for a car to go nearby where you can just like rent it and drive yourself.
Mm-hmm. Control. That's good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Oh God. I didn't realize how much control issues.
You have to worry about finding the car. You don't have to worry about talking to them or not talking to them. You don't have to worry about leaving shit in the car. You don't have to worry about like,
do have to worry about leaving shit in the car, but it's not that I don't have anxiety about that. Cause then you're on the highway and there's cars driving past you and like, what are they doing? And, but in a Lyft, yeah. Like I dread when I have to order a Lyft, and pretty much the entire Lyft ride, I hate it. And okay, the worst thing ever happened to me just the other day.
Okay.
I ordered Lyft. Mm-hmm. I was in like a weird like kind of parking lot area, so I didn't know if he would know where to go, and then because there are lots of little streets, and then I knew that where he would pick me up there might be a person behind him, so then I would have to rush to get in so that they like he wasn't stopped for too long. And then when his car got there, it was a dumb, stupid car that the handles weren't in the right place. So when I saw it, I was like, I think there's only a front door. Like, there aren't back doors on this. So I got in the front.
Oh, was the handle like up by the window?
Yes.
Oh, those are the worst. I always forget. And then I'm like, what magic is this?
And then it was like, but that was a stupid thought because it was an SUV. Of course, unless the whole thing is the trunk. Like, of course there was. And but I wasn't going to sit there like trying to get into his car or like open the front door and be like, how do you get into the back door? So we got in the front.
Oh, wow.
And the seat was moved up real, like, you know, far like a cab.
He didn't want you there either.
Because he, like, and it was like a 25-minute ride, and it was the worst thing ever. there were times where I thought, like, how do I ask him to pull over so I can get in the back? Or, like, can I just get out right here and change of plans? I need to be out here on the highway. Bye. Like, I,
it's not going to help, and I'm going to say it anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know how many fucking assholes there are in the world that give zero fucks, that have no sense of consideration whatsoever, that would just let that guy have somebody pull up behind them, that would say to the dude, hey, how the fuck do I open your car? Like, that person is used to being a Lyft driver. They are used to far, far worse in the universe than anything you could possibly throw at them.
Yeah.
And yet,
I
don't expect that to help. I'm just
yeah. Like, no, I wish I could have more of that mentality. And that's like part of being assertive that I'm really bad at like you're allowed to ask people to turn up the AC if you're in a cab.
Yeah.
I
or turn off your goddamn music.
Oh God, no, you can't do that. No, wait. No, I'm serious. Would you tell someone to turn off their music?
No.
Oh, okay. God, that made me nervous.
But I would sure rage at them in my head about it if I hated it.
Oh yeah, yeah. And the fact that they rate you afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that. My rating is like not as good as I would want it to be.
Which it would be perfect, but it's not that.
Well,
so
I mean, or at least like a 4.9.
Okay.
Right. Because
you know what? We're going to talk about me now. The largest source of anxiety in my world is the mail.
Oh, I hate the mail. I avoid the mail. Yeah.
Even if I know that there's nothing bad in it, I will assume that there's something terrible in there, mm-hmm. and that by not opening it, somehow it will magically not happen or
mm-hmm.
matter.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. That's fucked up.
My Uber rating, which I have not taken in a long time, but at least where I'm at, 4.74.
See, that's still like, that's like almost all fives and then like a 1-1 because somebody had a shitty day. Or
but what did I, why didn't they give me a, why did they do that?
I don't know.
Well, I won't. Okay.
Maybe they figured out that you're gay.
That's true.
Okay, great. That was one thing.
No, I've done the mail and like, okay, so like going back to does it affect your life? I have not checked my mail for, I'd say 9 months,
yep.
maybe. That was kind of my longest streak. And that was something I went into my therapist and I was like, I have not checked my mail and I don't. And then I finally checked it. And then I had the stack of mail that I didn't go through. And I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like one of my goals with her was to go through my mail, which again, like that makes me feel stupid. That has to be a goal. Mm. But I did have like bills that that went into collections because I
yep.
could not get myself to.
Yeah. It's also, it's a little bit on them. Who uses fucking paper anymore? You dickbags.
Dickbags, you're a big bag of dicks. Anytime, okay, this is for y'all, or something that happens with y'all, both of you. Whenever I send something to either of you in our group chat, especially if it's something like,
fuck you guys, I hate you.
Yeah, but I mean, like, something like feedback on something,
yeah.
or like something that potentially could be taken or interpreted as bad, and you don't respond until you respond. Like, I sent you this the Davey Wave video, and the entire time I was like, oh, he watched it and you think he sucks. No, well, how am I gonna change it? Okay, I guess I'll just go ahead and change it. Okay, maybe we'll just delete it. Like, until you reply, I hate, like, I, and that is nothing that you all need to change, that is me, but like the moment I send this, I'm like, okay, they both hate me, and that's horrifying.
Our messaging is working.
Confirm that one. Something that gives me regular anxiety is every time I hang up from a conference call, I have a lot of clients, so a lot of conference calls, whenever I say goodbye, I physically grimace. I can't not make a physical reaction to feeling uncomfortable about the whole goodbye saying process. Because I want to say bye and hang up, but you have to say goodbye. You have to wait for them. And then they say something like, have a good day. So you have to say you too. And then you say bye again. Like, it's like there's an entire goodbye process that I hate. And it's like, ugh.
At least they're not on camera. Mine are on camera.
Oh, fuck that.
But it's also not going to help if you just said goodbye and hung up.
Then they'll think I was being mean.
They will not. They'll be like,
why didn't
calls,
you?
Phone calls end sometimes, and then they will move on with their life.
I can't. Yeah, I have too many. I'm trying to pick the best ones. Anytime I'm walking Reynolds, when I see another dog up ahead, I usually either turn down or mute my music just in case they might talk to me. And I hate seeing other dogs. But then I want Reynolds to like sniff other dogs, so I want it to be like for him. See, all this stuff, like this is the, like this might just be stupid and everyone deals with this.
No. No, it's not stupid.
Both of you are sick.
I mean, it's also a matter of degrees. Yes, everyone deals with this. Yes, everyone deals with this kind of stuff. It's just a question of how uncomfortable is it? How much does it impact you? And then how often? And does it impact your ability to enjoy your life? Right? Like, I don't identify with the Lyft thing nearly as strongly as you do. I have thoughts. Like, when I'm waiting for the Uber, I'm like, oh, is there a good place for him to pull over? When I get in, I'm like, oh, God, how much talking do I have to do? Don't want to do a bunch of talking.
You always want to do a bunch of talking. That's a lie.
I compensate for that anxiety by talking.
Oh. And,
but just, but I also, I get out of the Uber and then I'm fine about it. And, but you, like, these things linger for you and impact your ability to, like, go places effectively.
Yeah, I don't like calling Lyfts.
Yeah, yes, everyone deals with these things, maybe just not as severely or as often as you do. So I think this is a useful exercise.
Yeah. I mean, we talked a lot about social anxiety, but like I have not talked about like the way that impacts me is sometimes I don't go to things. I just, especially like my core group of friends, I feel great like about those and going to those. I don't always go because I'm depressed, but like that is not out of anxiety. When I'm going anywhere with people I don't know or people I kind of know or even people I've met many times but are just not regular people I hang out with, I dread. And sometimes that means I just don't go. Sometimes I go when I drink so that I
get through it.
That's actually something that I realized only like within the past few years of like the fact that I have anxiety. So like standing up at a restaurant and trying to find the bathroom is like horrible because like, I don't know why the, because is stupid. Like, cause what if you can't find where it is? And then everyone thinks you're a stupid person. And what if you walk into the kitchen and they're like, you don't, this isn't where you pee.
And you accidentally shit in the soup.
And then one time I had like had a few drinks and I didn't, I just stood up and I walked around and looked for it. And I was like, oh my God, I don't have to think and worry about, I just walk and find the bathroom. I was like, oh, I have so much anxiety about going into new places or places I don't know about. And that, like, that's probably feeds into like my control issues. If I don't know a place, I hate it. So I need to know the place. Or do you ever look up pictures in advance so you know like the layout and where to go? Like walking to a new coffee shop is horrifying because like, where do you order?
No.
Oh, God.
No. But it makes sense. I mean, some of that is just effective strategies for dealing with your anxiety about it, right?
Like,
it's a sort of abnormal behavior, but it makes sense why. Like, you know, you're problem solving in a way.
Although then if you go in a place too much and they start to know your name, then you're like, oh man, I've been here too much. They probably think I'm like really too attached to this place.
Oh, I want to go somewhere where everybody knows my name. The theme song to Cheers, I want that in my life.
I want to, my goal is to walk through the crowd unnoticed. I want no one to see me or notice me.
You're 6 foot three. That's not going to happen.
I know. It's so annoying. And I don't play basketball.
Yeah. Okay. Some other things, like every single time I talk to somebody at TSA, suddenly I think I'm a terrorist.
Oh my God. I definitely have a bomb in my bag. And I'm like, did I forget that I have a bomb in my bag? Did I accidentally buy a bomb and put it in my bag?
Yep.
Yeah.
When I'm at the grocery store, anytime I have to put my hands in my pockets, like to get my phone or just because I'm have a list, and it's, I think they're gonna see that and they're gonna think I stole something.
Mm.
I'm putting stolen merchandise in my pants, and yeah. They're gonna catch me. Even no, that's yeah. not true. And they give zero fucks.
Yeah.
We're all crazy, Kyle. Every single one of us.
Yeah, we're all crazy in different ways.
In different ways. You all right?
Yeah.
You have more to say?
No, I just feel weird about this segment.
Why?
Because I don't think I have it. I don't know. I just think I'm being stupid and I need to get over it, but I don't know how to get over it.
Hmm. You're not being stupid. I don't think you're being stupid.
I feel ridiculous when I don't go to... It's better when people that really know me and get the mental health thing, because then they are very good about understanding. But with people that are not, when I'm like... People also don't believe that I'm an introvert,
mm-hmm.
similar to white people don't know that I have social anxiety. And when they're just like, no, just do this thing. Like, I'm like, no. And they're like, why not? Just do it. And I don't want to be like, because I am so tired of talking to you, or I'm so like, I hate this so much. I need to leave. Like, I can't say that. So like, yeah.
Yep.
But it was really great. Actually, this recently happened with Dan. Like, you invited me to a Dracula play. And I was like, had to force myself to go. I hated, I didn't tell you this, I hated every minute of it. It was from getting there to waiting in line to get a drink to sitting down to, like, usually I can, like, I'll start to watch, like, if you watch a play or a performance or a movie or something, like, you just get into that and then you're done. I never stopped being anxious about being there. And then when it ended, I just got up and left. I didn't say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was really sweet though, is I texted you, Dan. And then I said like, hey, I left. Sorry. Like, yeah, you know, then you feel shitty about leaving. And then you're like, oh God, they hate me now that I left and didn't say bye. And you have to, and you said, no worries. Thing. And like, you knew why I was like struggling to get there. And you just said like, no worries. Thanks for coming. That was really sweet.
I was glad to see you.
That's so nice of you.
And I was glad you didn't get stuck at that one seat all by yourself in the back row. Although maybe you would have just left in the middle of the performance then.
Maybe. That was another thing that was like no one's fault. I just got like a weird seat that was like not with everyone else. And then I was like stood out so much. It was at the back in like these tall weird seats. And I was like, oh my God. It was, yeah. But yeah, thank you for not like it's very nice to have friends that are just like, great, I appreciate you coming, thanks, like, and don't make it into a big deal. It like, yeah. It's very helpful.
Yeah, everyone needs a Dan.
Everyone needs a Dan. Everyone needs a group of friends that know about mental health and you can be honest about, so that you can explain to them why things are happening. I am not going because I don't like you or I don't want to be there. I am not going because this is terrifying to me.
Yeah.
I may show up, spend 5 minutes there and leave. And if they can be okay with that, that can help kind of reduce some of the anxiety around it.
Yep. 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 You know what?
What?
Chicken butt.
Wow. Is that where we're at in our podcast?
No, I agree. It's why I worry about straight guys and toxic masculinity, because they're not allowed to talk about these kinds of things. And like, imagine somebody who had like your level of anxiety that also like had to hang out with bros all the time.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like couldn't talk about this. Like, yeah. Like you can't tell your bros like, I'm really nervous about going to that play, bro. Like, yeah, like, yeah, like.
They wouldn't go to plays because they're gay, but
that's
true. I get,
yeah, 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 because they're straight. Yeah. Oh, players
are gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone just recently like retweeted like Mr. Rogers, and they were like talking about like, oh, Mr. Rogers contributing to the metrosexuality of America, and like,
barf.
I know, it, like this stupid like toxic masculinity bullshit, and yeah, I am. Not only a like anxiety and depression ridden person, I guess I can say that now that you've confirmed I have. Do I also have depression?
Yes.
Okay.
Kyle, Jesus.
Just checking. And on top of that, I'm like super sensitive, so things affect me a whole lot. And like, especially when you're male, like that is not allowed. You're not supposed to be like that. So it's not only okay to be sensitive, that is a gift you've been given that you should take advantage of. And I'm saying that partially because I need to remind myself of that constantly.
Yep. Yep. This is going to be an awkward segue. Are you ready for awkward segues?
Can I get more wine first?
No.
Okay.
We're talking about all these like ways to like maybe manage your anxiety, right?
Oh, sure.
But like there are people for whom they manage their anxiety by being OCD about stuff, which is what we're going to talk about on Patreon
segment,
right?
Fucking Dan is.
Did I just do the whole Patreon segment in one sentence, though?
That what?
That some people deal with their anxiety by having OCD tics.
No, no, no. I'm talking about a very specific type of OCD during the Patreon segment.
Oh.
That maybe you experienced based on something you talked about.
Dun dun dun!
Wow. Patreon.com/gayishpodcast.
But did we do it?
I feel like I also want to say, like, I also recognize that my form of anxiety is not like, there are people with agoraphobia who cannot leave their place. There are people with panic attacks that, like, it is helpful to get the validation. Yes, you have this. No, that is not normal. But also there are people that have much stronger experience of this and like negatively inhibit their lives in much bigger ways. So I don't want to pretend like I am just like, it's all the same thing. And
I think comparing pain is stupid and you should stop.
Okay.
Other people's experiences don't impact you and your experience of your own life.
Yeah. But my anxiety around this is, never mind. Okay. I'm done. Yeah. Then I'm done. I'm done. I'm done.
So should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
Are you nervous about taking a break?
OCD? OCD break?
Are you going to go pee urgently for the break?
Pee and drink. Maybe at the same time.
All right, break.
Break.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
Are we back?
We're back.
We're back.
We're back. We're going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest, but first.
Our... Do I do this?
Our website is gayishpodcast.com.
Okay. Oh, I didn't say but first. So that, okay, the back and forth order. I get it now. Website. All of our social media at gayishpodcast or /gayishpodcast. We are on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. YouTube. And if you want to, one of our recent Patreon segments was, interviewing Dan's daddy. If you want to go to Instagram, Dan put up a slideshow of himself, which if you didn't know, if Dan runs the Instagram, but Instagram of him and daddy. So check it out.
Our hotline. You can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, especially if you're gayest and straightest, because we feature one from our audience each week. It's 585-5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rates apply.
And our email is...
Gmail
at gayishpodcast.com. That is not an error. That is actually our email.
Yep.
And we love it. We would love you to rate, review, subscribe, or recommend if you enjoyed this.
You guys, I don't know if we've said this, but recommend is like, data shows us that that's like one of the biggest ways that people find podcasts.
Yeah.
So tell that faggot next door to listen to us.
Yeah, you can like gayish and chill, like be like, let's listen to this and then I'll definitely fuck you. Fuck our way to the top. but yeah, that helps us grow and do more shit.
Yeah.
And we're still collecting trivia questions about Mike and Kyle for me to ask each of them for our 150th episode.
Do you have questions?
What's that?
Do you have questions?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do?
I have a lot of questions, but I've also been getting questions from our listeners, if that's what you meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So send those directly to me. Almost everybody is doing this correctly. Send those to fuckingdan@gayishpodcast.com. That means that Kyle and Mike won't see them and find out the questions ahead of time. I'll be collecting them, sorting them, sending them to Mike to answer the questions that are about him, sending them to Kyle to answer the question. Anyway, I'm talking too much. Send me an email, put 150 in the subject line if you like me, and that'll help me sort things easier and get those in soon. We've just got a couple weeks left before that.
Weird. Yeah. The year's over.
Are we doing that episode live? Are we doing a live stream of that episode?
Let us know. Is that what you want, kids?
We did that last time. Okay, we won't plan right now. I think we should.
If you want a live stream, email mike@gayishpodcast.com. If you don't want a live stream, email kyle@gayishpodcast.com.
This is a good plan.
No, I think we should do it. We'll more info to come.
More to come.
More to come. I'm Davey Wavy.
More come.
I'm Dan now. Gayest and straightest.
Let's do our gayest and straightest. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah. Okay. I opened my mouth. Oh, wait, what?
The gayest thing about me this week was that I represented the Seattle Seahawks at a GSBA gala raising money for scholarships for queer students. And it was fabulous.
Using the word fabulous.
Yeah.
Did you figure out what GSBA stands for?
Oh, let's find that out. That's something we should probably say.
Oh, Dan's at the
Greater Seattle Business Association.
Yeah.
It's a business association of LGBTQ businesses. I was up for their scholarship in 1993 and was beat out by Dale Wampler.
Womp.
And then my parents were chosen to be the speakers at the scholarship dinner that I did not get to attend.
That's mean. Dale Wampler, if you're listening, fuck Dan, he would like that.
There was a lot of gay old money from Seattle at that event. Mm. Holy crap. They raised $1.7 million at this one giant ass banquet. Yeah, it was pretty great. The straightest thing about me, though, is that Kelly, my neighbor, who works for the Seahawks, who invited me to be her plus one, we were watching the Washington...
And listens to the show.
Yeah.
Hi, Kelly.
We were watching the Washington State University football game at the table while there's, like, drag queens performing and we're watching the Cougs play.
Why?
So... I don't know. Just so I had a straightest thing to say this week.
Kelly, I need a straight thing. She's like, great. Football. Oh, because she represents the Seahawks. She cares about football.
And she cares about Washington State because she went there.
Okay. My gayest is I recently, our favorite fagstag, Doug Inkoviak, is getting married.
Yeah. In Hawaii.
In Hawaii. And I went with him to pick out... what he's going to wear for the wedding.
Gay.
And I had so many opinions. Like, I've talked often about how I don't care about my fashion, and that's often been my straightest thing. Man, when it's someone else and I get to just pass judgment, I had so many opinions. I, like, often overwrote, like, what other people were saying, and everyone was like, oh. It's like,
listen to your sassy gay friend, Doug.
Exactly. Which is like, it was funny because I walked in going like, you are more stylish than me. Why am I here?
He's a very good dresser.
Yeah, don't take my advice, anyone. No, I think I made some good decisions.
Good.
Brittany, let me know if that's true in like 4 months. His
fiance, not Britney Spears.
I mean, Britney Spears. I mean, if you're going to respond to one thing, Brittany...
Let it be your opinions about...
Hopefully, let it be the Britney Spears episode. I love you, Britney.
Okay.
My straightest is when I was at a table with another gay friend, we were at a restaurant, and he, like, talks to the waitress, like, as a friend, like, how's your day going? Blah, what are you doing after this? When are you like leaving work? Like,
oh no,
I was like, I think that's what people think gays are, like social butterflies, chatty, make friends instantly, and that's who he is. And it is not me. And the entire time I was like, please leave. Like, that's when waiters or waitresses or
servers.
Okay, cool. I was like, what's the non-binary version of waitresses? I'm like, how can I make this interaction as short as possible? Yeah. Oh, I hate my food. It's great. Like, I love my food. It's great. Like, it doesn't matter. Thank you. Please leave. Like, yeah. And he was not that. And so I felt very straight of like, don't talk to me.
Well, that's about anxiety also.
Oh, good for sure.
In, Kyle.
Thank you. And we have a listener, Gaius and Stratus.
We have a listener, Gaius and Stratus. This week it comes to us from Discord. If you didn't know, we have a Discord server. You can join it and see lots of other of your fellow listeners' dicks. Oh,
and also discussions about mental health and the episodes. And
there's a whole channel that's Gayest and Straightest. And oh, yeah. So that's where this thing comes from this week. So this is from a user whose screen name is Weed Farts. And it says, it's fine to use my whole name, Lorenzo Hernandez.
I prefer Weed Farts.
Straightest thing I did today was taking tequila shots in a strip club parking lot with my brother-in-law. Gayest was buying a fabulous rainbow dildo on Amazon.
Rainbow dildo? It's like, can you get all the way down to purple?
Do you want to build a snowman? I don't know why. Wait, that came out of my mouth just now.
Do you see what I see?
Yeah. Hopefully we actually get our shit together for 2020 and our parody Christmas album comes out.
Oh my God. Okay, I still have a section in my gayish notes because I have a notepad on my phone, and it says like, what if Deck the Halls was Dick the Halls? Like, it just says these weird, dumb ideas about our Christmas parody album. So yeah. Anyway.
Well, that's it. Special thank you to Soren Kierkegaard.
What?
I just wanted to say Kierkegaard again because it's a smart thing to say.
Whom is this?
He's a philosopher I talked about in the main episode.
I remember.
Yep. Great.
Just like the Alamo. Always remember.
And a thank you to Weed Farts.
Thanks to Weed Farts. Thank you to Mike Johnson for the use of our theme music. Thanks for singing for us.
That's it. This has been Gayish. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you. See you next week.
See you next week.
I have anxiety until we see you then.